Ramsey TV.
You can see my friends, my fellow members of the Body of Christ, that I got rid of the garbage. And look, my garbage pail is close like it ought to be. And so everything's right with the world. Well, with my garbage can. By the way, the world is a garbage can. Do you like how I pieced that together? That's pretty good. The world is a garbage can. We're living in an evil eon, a wicked eon. Wicked. This is a good start to my show because wicked and evil are not the same. Wicked and evil are not the same. My trash can might be wicked, but it's not evil. And I'm going to explain that to you today at the end of the week here at MZTV. My air conditioner still isn't fixed, but from what I understand, I'm recording this Thursday evening. The air conditioning technician will be here tomorrow between 1 and 3. But I just checked the temperature. It's only 86 in here right now instead of 87, which it was yesterday. So, and I have some Francis Ford Coppola. This is Coppola. Cabernet Sauvignon. There's the bottle right there. It's dry, but I like it dry. Not too sweet. Just right for a Thursday evening and the last show of the week. Now, many people can't stomach the idea. It's not an idea. Many people can't stomach the fact that God creates evil. God created evil. Isaiah 45:7. And the reason they can't handle that is because of the almost universal assumption that evil is sin. But evil is not sin. And I'm going to give that to you in several examples from Scripture. But the number one obvious example is there are two different words in the Hebrew and the Greek for evil and sin. So there you go. God has one word for evil and one word for sin. And there's no two words, no matter what anybody tells you, there are no two words, there's no two different words in the Scriptures, either in the Hebrew or Greek, that mean the same thing. Because, you see, the Hebrew and the Greek don't overlap like the English does. English overlaps. Like, I hit the bat with my bat, all right? Or you can have the other way around. You can have two different words in English that mean the same thing. It's just a mess in English. English is a messy language. But no, Hebrew and Greek are very precise languages. This is why God chose them for his revelation. The Hebrew word for evil is ra, R-A. The Hebrew word for sin is kata. And I'll give you the definitions first, then I'll give you examples from the Scriptures, then I'll show you how God can create evil without sinning. There's the thing that everybody misses. But when you know this, you have a great key in your hand that really solves so many potential problems. Kata, sin, means to miss the mark. There's a verse in the Hebrew Scriptures, I'll put it down here, where the Benjamites could sling a stone and not miss. And not miss. That word, to not miss, is kata. So sin means to miss the mark. If I take a wad of paper and try to throw it in a trash basket and I miss, which happens almost every time, I have sinned. Sin is anything short of perfection. It doesn't have to be a sin directly against the law of Moses. It's just any sort of miss. And human beings miss all the time. I marvel at these super Christians who try to not sin. They really dedicate themselves. I'm not going to sin. But I'm telling you, if they throw a wad of paper toward a trash basket and miss, then they have sinned. It's hopeless. It's hopeless. It's so self-deceptive to think that you can wake up one day and really try hard not to sin. We have given up on it, you and I, because we know that sin is gone. Jesus Christ took away the sins of the world. Not only that, but we are pronounced justified, righteous by God. So we don't have to worry about that. Now, evil, on the other hand, it means, are you ready for this? To break or to shatter. And let me give you a few examples from the Scripture, and I'll put the verse references down here. The Israelites complained to Moses all the time. And one time they said to Moses, why have you brought us in? No, they said it like this. Moses, why have you brought us into this evil land? Evil land. If evil means to sin, then I have to ask these people who think that evil is sin, how can a land sin? How can a piece of real estate sin? How can the desert sin? But the land was evil because it was broken down. There was no life in the desert, as opposed to Egypt. Egypt was not an broken down / evil land. It was full of good fruits and vegetables and leeks. They loved the leeks. Oh, the Israelites mourned the loss of the leeks. Why have you brought us here? We ain't got no leeks nowhere. So, it was the land was evil in that it was broken down and could not sustain life. In another place, when Joseph's brothers irresponsibly and wickedly abandoned Joseph in a pit, and he ended up being picked up by some Ishmaelite traders, taken to Egypt. You know what they told their dad, who was Israel? You know what they told their dad? Oh, your son Joseph was eaten by a wild beast. But they said an evil beast, an evil beast. Does a beast sin? Do animals sin? No, they operate by instinct. But they had dipped his coat, the multicolored coat, in blood, and they said, your son Joseph has been devoured by an evil beast. Evil beast? It was a beast that devours and breaks down. In other words, it was a mountain lion or a tiger or a bear or a lion, tiger, or bear. Oh, my. As opposed to, say, a French poodle. No, that's a bad example. There's some mean French poodles I have known in my day. Can't use that. Let's say a bunny rabbit. Well, I can't say that either if you watched The Holy Grail, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, you remember the killer rabbit. So I can't really use that as an example either. I might have to go to a goldfish. A goldfish is not an evil beast because it's very calm, just swims around. So an evil beast devours. So evil just means to break. That's all it means. It has no moral bias to it. And it depends on who's using the evil. It depends on the motive behind the breaking, which determines whether the evil is a sin or not. Evil could be a sin. It's not necessarily a sin. It depends on how it's used. It depends on who's using it, and it depends on the motive. Now, I'm going to give you folks an example I've given many times because it's hard to think of a better one. It's so perfect, and I have many new viewers all the time, so I'm going to give you the example of the dude who blew up the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City. What was that guy's name? Timothy McVeigh. Timothy McVeigh blew up a building. He did an evil to the building. It means to smash, to destroy, to break. And I was in St. Louis back in 1984 with my wife, and we were bicycling across the United States, and we saw a demolition crew also do evil on a building. They destroyed a building with dynamite, just like Timothy McVeigh did. Only this was a city crew that was taking down a dilapidated building to make way for a hospital. It was legal, and it was for a good motive and a good purpose. But both people here, Timothy McVeigh and the city crew, did an identical act upon a building. And in both cases, it was an evil. But in one case, it was not a sin because it was a city crew operating under the law, taking down a dangerous, dilapidated building to make way for a hospital. In the McVeigh case, it was to kill and to wreak havoc. So it was a sin. But evil is not necessarily sin. Another example I always give is breaking glass. There's a thief who breaks glass to steal jewelry from a jewelry store. He did an evil to the glass. He broke it. Evil means to break. Evil means to break. Did he kata? Did he sin? Yes, he sinned because he was stealing property from other people. There's another man who breaks glass to call the fire department to put out a fire. Do they still have those things? I remember in school they were lining, those little devices were lining the walls. In case of fire, break glass. Did an evil to the glass. Did an evil to the glass. It was for a good purpose, to save lives. No kata. No kata there. No sin there. So now, having established the definition and these examples, now that you know that evil is not necessarily sin, now we go to God. Now we go to God. And now I hope that the people who are repulsed by the very idea that, see the sweat right there? By the very idea that God could create evil, they can't imagine it could be true, because I'm telling you, everybody in their mind conflates evil with sin constantly. But does God break things? Oh, hell yeah. He's about to break every building in the world during the tribulation. He also kills. There's another example I've given before, and I beg your indulgence for those of you who have heard these examples before. But the state exercising capital punishment on a criminal, on a murderer, mass murderer, let's say someone who was incorrigible. Just like that one kid on the Sound of Music. You remember him? Which one was that? Was it Kurt? I'm incorrigible. Remember that?
I'm Kurt. I'm 11. I'm incorrigible. Congratulations.
Incorrigible. I can't be reformed. The state kills, but it's legal. But somebody on the street kills, and it's illegal. And by the way, the law of Moses does not say, thou shall not kill. There's another problem. See, people are just not careful. People think they know everything about evil, everything about sin, but they're not careful. They're reading from the King James Version, which I think says, thou shall not kill. Read it from the Concordant Version. Thou shall not commit murder. I'm not sure which commandment that is. I'm not used to like looking at the law, because I'm not under the law. What do I care? But I should know a little bit about it. I'm going to put that commandment down here. You know it's in there. Thou shalt not commit murder. God kills, but he does not commit murder. Committing murder is a sin, usually inspired by anger, malice, jealousy, whatever. It's a sin. Murder is a sin. Killing, it's true that the person who murders also kills, but murder is not necessarily killing. Killing is not necessarily murder. Well, murder is always killing, but killing is not always murder. That's what I want to say. Murder is always killing, but killing is not always murder. Because what does God do? He kills and he makes alive. Well, Jesus says, I hold the keys of death and Hades. Nobody dies apart from Christ, apart from God. They pull the spirit out and there's death. They kill all the time. I hear people even say, God wouldn't kill anybody. Are you kidding me? Even those who try to twist Isaiah 45:7, as some versions do, like the NASB, says, I, the Lord God, I form the light, create the darkness. I make good and I create, like, disaster. Or I create calamity. Or some weaselly way out. I'm sorry, but the word is ra there. And to translate ra, anything but evil, which, of course, the NASB translates ra, evil, hundreds of times. But when it comes to Isaiah 45:7, oh, they have to protect God from himself. They have to protect God from his careless, wild assertions like, I create evil. God, no, cut that out. We'll fix it for you. We'll fix it. You don't create evil. You create calamity and disaster. But I ask you this. Do calamities and disasters kill people? Okay. God kills. But he makes alive. So his motive is always good. He sees the end result. I've told you many times. For those of you who visit your loved one's grave sites, I'm not in the habit of doing that, but you have to look through it into the life, into the resurrection. As an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. So God kills, but he makes alive. Man can't do that. They can kill, but they can't make alive. So God has the authority to kill. He created the life, he can take it away. And he never sins. God never sins. Let it be known to you right now that Martin Zender, who promotes Isaiah 45:7, that God creates evil, the same Martin Zender is saying God does not sin, never sins. Because evil is not necessarily sin. And when God does evil, it's never sin. Because he always has a good motive. and he knows what he's doing. And it's always for a good purpose in the end, just like breaking glass to bring the fire department or demolishing the dangerous building to make way for a hospital. I love that truth. And it's so ironic also that those who say that I'm making God a sinner. Martin Sander, you're making God a sinner. Oh, really? How am I doing that? You say he creates evil. Yeah, well, evil is not sin. Evil does not mean to miss the mark. Another word for that, kata. This word, ra, means to break. And besides, lady, you're talking to me, Martin. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You're the one who makes God a sinner. I dare you to prove that. All right, it's no problem. You claim, with the rest of Christianity, that God intended to have a perfect universe. Creating evil never entered his mind. No. He would never do that. He intended a perfect universe. He never intended for Adam to sin, for Eve to sin. Never intended for death to enter into the human race. He just wanted Adam and Leaf. That was kind of a Freudian slip because of that leaf down there. Ooh. Look at Adam and Leaf. Ooh, leaves. One, two, three. Eve probably had three leaves. One, two, three. Adam had one. That's not even true because God made him garments out of leather. That's even, no, never mind. You claim, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, that God wanted this perfect universe, but that Satan broke the leash, and they say also, oh, God would never have created Satan evil. And to get God off the hook, they say that, well, Satan was a pure angel, beautiful angel. Ooh. Full of light, flapping around in heaven, not doing anything wrong, obeying all the rules. And then that's why God wanted him. That's the way God made him. And then all of a sudden, Satan broke the leash. And the calls came in to God. Sir, you're never going to believe what happened with that angel of light you created. What happened? Nothing could have possibly happened. Well, he broke the leash and he's going crazy and he's heading down to the garden right now. With an evil look in his eye. Oh, I can't believe this happened. I thought I made him bulletproof. Well, I did give him a free will, so what should I expect? You're the one who actually makes God a sinner. Not me.
You're going to have to explain yourself, Martin.
Oh, that's not too hard. If God created a perfect universe, and it ended up not being perfect, apart from his plan A, then he missed the mark, didn't he? God missed the mark. In wanting a perfect universe, but not getting it because of unforeseen circumstances, unforeseen events, like the fall of Satan or the disobedience of Adam and Eve. He didn't want it that way, but it happened. Oh, shoot. Sorry, God's a sinner. My God does not sin because he meant for evil to come. He planned it. He purposed it. Because God can't resurrect anything that doesn't die. God can't give good to anyone who doesn't appreciate bad. God can't save people who aren't first enmeshed in sin. God breaks all the time. He breaks people's wills. He breaks buildings. He broke the earth. He killed a bunch of people in the days of Noah. Anybody that dies, God's responsible for it. God's responsible for it. But he doesn't murder, does he? No. He only kills. So my teaching, and those of you who are listening, your belief and your teaching is that God could never sin. And therefore, the God who takes responsibility for the creation of evil, that can't be a sin because God never sins. And then when you look up the definition of evil, oh, it's a break. And then you see example after example after example of God breaking things all the time in Scripture, wrecking things. The disruption of the world was the first break. And of course, that was brought about by evil forces, but evil forces under the direction of God. Because God created it in the first place. Think of it. The disruption of the world brought about by Satan and his minions couldn't have even happened if God had not first created evil. He created evil. And then evil was then usurped or hijacked or utilized by these demonic beings to disrupt the earth. But they couldn't have done it apart from the creation of evil. If God hadn't created evil, there would have been no opportunity for any creature to do any kind of breaking whatsoever. So God is wise. Oh my God, look at this sweat. I just realized I'm perspiring like a pig here. That's okay. God is wise. And our teaching, ladies and gentlemen, that God created evil, that's the only teaching that keeps God from being a sinner. Their teaching stinks. Their teaching, God is sinning almost every day because so many unforeseen things are happening. So many ways God misses the mark. That's unacceptable to me. And I know it's unacceptable to you. And so the next time you talk to somebody who is just abhors the very idea of God creating evil, explain to them that the land Israel was brought into was called evil, that an animal was called evil. Animals don't sin, and a piece of real estate can't sin. I know I make sense for a living, and I know you can probably get tired of me making so much sense, but maybe your friends have never heard you make sense. Take this teaching, tell it to them directly, or send them the link. And maybe you can change their minds. Because if they continue in their false teaching, they're going to find out what evil really is.